Gracias a la sintonía de CKUT, a continuación de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT next, the International Radio Report.
This is Larry Will of Mount Airy, Maryland, and you're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
Welcome, everybody, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, January the 21st, 2024. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon Agilis with me, and we thank you for tuning in to our weekly 30-minute show about news in the world of radio. I'll give you our contact information and ways you can listen to our program. We have an email address, radioreport@yahoo.com. Our show live streams and is archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, which we invite you to join, is called International Radio Report. We have 952 members, and we welcome one new member this week, Daniel, who is all the way down in New Zealand. Thanks for joining the group. Our YouTube channel is available with recordings of the program. You can hear the most recent show and back issues of the program on youtube.com/@IRR, and you can subscribe to the channel there as well. We do have an X account. It is at IRRCKUT, and you can follow us at that account. So we have a bit of local news for you and some world news as usual on the show today. Gilles, you're going to start things off with a local story. Well, we've got two local stories today, actually.
So the first one is the passing of Serge Laprade that died of cancer this week. He is a very well-known entertainer here in Quebec on the French side of things. And on the radio, he's had a pretty good career. He started a news service of CGMS 1280 in 1962-63. He was on almost every Francophone talk radio station throughout the years, CKVL 850, CKRC 730, CKLM 1570. He actually was even director of programming at CKLM 1570 in the early 70s, from 71 to 73. And he continued his career. There's, of course, CBF, Radio-Canada, French, CFGL, and so on. Of course, he was also a lot on TV and was also a singer, popular singer in the 60s, 70s. So he passed away. It's a well-known entertainer. There was a lot of people that commented on how he was a great person and that he changed a lot of people's lives in the radio and TV industry. So it's sad to hear of him passing away at age 83.
And we thank our friend and regular listener, Norma, for passing that story along to us as well. We have a late breaking story, which is really some big news on the Montreal radio scene. We thank Alan Lafferty, a regular listener here in Montreal, for passing the story along from Mike Cohen in the Suburban newspaper. The headline is CFQR 600 AM radio has a new owner with immediate plans to engage on-air talent. After just more than 6 years of playing nostalgic music with no on-air personalities, save for a brief morning show hosted by Jim Connell in the summer of 2022, CFQR 600 has finally been sold by TTP Media. Phil Richards, a serial entrepreneur from the West Island of Montreal, is awaiting formal CRTC approval for his purchase of CFQR 600 and AM 940, which is a French language station. TTP Media surfaced about 14 years ago via a partnership of businessmen Rajiv Panjoli, Nicolas Tetreault, and Paul Teitelman. The CRTC awarded them News Talk radio licenses for the two stations. For a number of reasons, the three partners simply could not come together, and all we heard on CFQR 600 was oldies music 24/7. This despite an enormous amount of interest from people to become part of the programming side of things. Mike Cohen goes on to say, I know a number of key players on the local radio scene who seriously looked at the station. Richards told Cohen that he will refrain from providing too many details of his plans until the CRTC confirms his exclusive ownership. However, he is already on the job, having overhauled the playlist, and he is test driving an entertainment show by Montreal businessman Trent Hall. There are also some advertisers already. Richards has a temporary studio in the borough of Saint-Laurent and is actively looking for something more permanent. The station will be a mix of talk and music, Richards said. I am following precisely what the CRTC allows us to do. I promise to deliver a station of diversity. As for on-air talent, Richard says he already has a morning show host ready to step in, and he intends to add others to read the news, report on sports, and spearhead more programming. It is exciting, says Richards. Right now, I am pursuing this step by step. Jim Connell's golden voice can still be heard on the station doing some of the station breaks. So this is really big news. It's been such a long time that the TTP media held these licenses, really not doing very much with them at all, having lots of great ideas, but not really coming through with any of them. So this has probably caught a lot of people by surprise, and I'm sure a lot of people will be quite interested. The French language station, the 940 AM, did have some programming. They had some personalities on the air and a few regular shows. But they also did spend a lot of their time playing music as well. I don't know how quickly this will happen. I don't know. I remember that we had a story about the CRTC was not doing much on radio because they were working on other projects, and they were kind of pushing radio to the back burner for a while. So I'm not sure how quickly this new owner will get the okay and the approval for the purchase. But sounds like he's getting some things lined up before that happens and ready to go as soon as he hopefully receives the approval.
Yeah, it seems like it's more serious now. So I guess something will happen, and take a listen to 600 and 940 from time to time in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it's been a long while, that people were very excited at the beginning when they received the licenses, and there were a lot of promises of what they were going to be doing. And then people just basically lost interest because just very little was going on. So this is very encouraging. And as you said, our listeners here in Montreal in particular may want to keep an ear out on the stations. I'm going to check out their websites if we see anything that's changed on there.
So a yearly event is coming up soon, the UNESCO's World Radio Day. That will be on February 13th. Proclaimed in 2011 by the member states of UNESCO and adopted by United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13th became World Radio Day. Radio is a powerful medium for celebrating humanity in all its diversity and constitutes a platform for democratic discourse. At the global level, radio remains the most widely consumed medium. This unique ability to reach out the widest audience means radio can shape a society's experience of diversity, stand as an arena for all voices to speak out, be represented, and heard. Radio stations should serve diverse communities, offering a wide variety of programs, viewpoints, and content, and reflect the diversity of audiences in their organizations and operations. Radio continues to be one of the most trusted and used media in the world, according to different international reports. World Radio Day was proclaimed by UNESCO General Conference at its 36th session in 2011 and adopted by the 67th session of the United Nations General Assembly in 2012. The date set aside was February 13th, which is the anniversary of the creation of United Nations Radio in 1946. World Radio Day is an opportunity to celebrate radio as a medium. It is a chance to promote international cooperation between radio broadcasters, to encourage major networks and local radio stations to foster access to information and freedom of expression. World Radio Day's theme in 2024, Radio, a Century Informing, Entertaining, and Educating, shines a broad floodlight on radio's remarkable past, relevant present, and promise of a dynamic future. The opportunity provided by the 100-year-plus milestone of radio begs to be trumpeted at full volume. The century is an occasion to proudly celebrate the medium's extensive virtues and ongoing potency. It comes at an opportune time as radio, though statistically popular and enormously trusted by the public, faces increased challenges to audience and revenue numbers from digital platforms, pervasive social media, digital and generational divides, the headwinds of censorship, and for some media, stifling consolidation induced death, as well as economic hardships exacerbated by soft advertising market. So UNESCO invites the worldwide radio industry in all its many forms, commercial, public, nonprofit, to join in this global celebration of the medium at this special and pivotal juncture in its century-spanning journey.
The 2024 observance highlights are the indelible history of radio and its powerful impact upon news, drama, music, sports, the ongoing utilitarian value of radio as a relatively free and portable public safety net during emergencies and power outages brought on by natural and human-made disasters such as storms, earthquakes, floods, heat, wildfires, accidents, and warfare. The continuing democratic value of radio to serve as a grassroots catalyst for connectedness within underserved groups includes immigrant, religious, minority, and poverty-stricken populations, and as an instantaneous bellwether of public opinion expressed through the auspices of free speech in the public space. UNESCO recognizes and understands the tremendous variety of business models and technological architecture in radio around the world, as well as the independent nature of its companies and organizations, large and small, plus the idiosyncrasies of its on-air personalities. Thus, broadcasters are encouraged to bring their own culture, style, and sensibilities to their individual celebrations leading up to and during the February 13th event. World Radio Day is also an opportunity for radio stations to connect with on-air fellow broadcasters around the world. UNESCO invites radio stations to take the initiative for such broadcasts. It is a remarkable achievement for a major mass communications medium to continue its relevancy past 100 years and still be a force for freedom of expression, joy, and knowledge. As we proudly tell its story, let's welcome radio's future in the next century. Now, from Talkers Magazine, Michael Harrison writes the following 13 ideas to celebrate World Radio Day 2024. World Radio Day Minutes. Air the UNESCO package of 20 pre-produced World Radio Day Minutes. And we'll actually be doing that on the program over the next 4 weeks. We'll be playing some of these one-minute air checks for World Radio Day. Number two is talk show celebrating radio. They encourage people to program either pre-produce or live talk shows with local and national experts talking about the importance of radio. World Radio Day 2024 live event. Schedule a live indoor or outdoor event, depending on climate, on February the 13th to celebrate World Radio Day 2024. World Radio Day 2024 sponsorship with local consumer electronics store or chain. Arrange a sales promotion with a local store or chain of stores within your market to offer listeners a significant one-day discount on all AM and FM radios and radio-related equipment. That might be a challenge because it's getting more and more difficult to find somewhere to buy an AM/FM radio. International dialogue, schedule interviews and conversations, either live or pre-recorded, with your broadcast colleagues from other countries. That might be something we could look into as well, possibly track down some international broadcasters who we could talk to. Here's one that I really like. The greatest radio songs of all time. There are songs in almost every pop music format that contain the word radio in them or refer to the medium of radio. Highlight the greatest radio songs of all time on your radio station. You can do a visit to a radio station, offer guided tours of your facilities to listeners or local school classes. Radio and emergencies emphasize radio's impact as an informational public safety net entering its second century of service. Theater of the mind. Use World Radio Day 2024 as a focal point for radio being the theater of the mind by producing your own locally produced radio dramas. Recognize radio's claim to the title as the original interactive mass medium or the original social media. Radio and sports. The history of radio's connection to sports is deep and rich. There is a lot of colorful sports broadcasting history to discuss in celebration of World Radio Day. Podcasts. Post several new and timely podcasts featuring quality conversations and panel discussions with experts and leaders in the radio profession from around the world as a supplemental World Radio Day 2024 content on your station or network website. You can also generate your own podcasts and programs about radio for placement on your website or general distribution. And finally, celebrate. World Radio Day 2024 symbolizes radio's century of accomplishment, pride in the present, and hope for the future. Celebrate World Radio Day 2024, spreading this optimistic perspective leading up to, during, and following February the 13th. So circle that day on your calendar. It's a big day for radio, and obviously that's what our show is all about. So we'll be doing some special things. We've also talked to the and informed the staff here at CKUT, and hopefully there'll be some special programming, special events taking place leading up to and on February the 13th as well. If you're involved in a radio station out there somewhere, make them aware of the date as well. There is a World Radio Day website.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
Did you know that radio is over 100 years old? Actually, radio spans three centuries and two millennia. It emerged in the late 19th century as wireless telegraphy. It thrived in the 20th century as the first mass medium and remains relevant in the 21st century, evolving with digital technology and modern culture. Although Italian inventor Guglielmo Marconi received the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1909 for his major contributions to its development, the actual process of sending signals over the air via electromagnetic waves was predicted as early as the 1860s and invented in stages by brilliant scientists and engineers from all over the world. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, for the second week in a row, our sun is full of sunspots, but doesn't really have any flares or anything major happening. So we're just enjoying a quiet ride with high solar activity, and the high frequencies are propagating extremely well. Lots of interesting signals out there if you tune your radio. So let's hope that this continues for now. No significant coronal holes. Sunspot number 113. The solar flux 162. And if you want to enjoy that great propagation, well, you got to turn on a radio and listen.
Hey there, I'm Paul Kaltenbach, live in Hell's Kitchen, New York City, and you're tuned to International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
So in our next story, we have AM station totals that continue to erode in the U.S. This is by Paul McLean of Radio World. The rapid growth in FM translators appears to have leveled off, at least for now. The number of FM NCE stations continue to grow, while 40 more AM stations have gone silent. These are three of the data points we can glean from the latest station totals from the Federal Communications Commission. Radio World has compiled year-end data for the past decade to give you a frame of reference. As of December 31st, 2023, there were 4,444 AM radio stations licensed in the country. The AM number has been declining a little bit year after year for some time. This year, it fell by 40 stations compared to a year earlier. The AM total is down 175 stations, or almost 4% compared to 5 years ago. The number of FM educational stations grew this year by 79 to a total of 4,286 and should continue to grow. The commission held a filing window for new stations in 2021, but the number of FM commercial stations shrank this year by 23 to 6,663. For the first time in recent memory, the category of FM translators boosters shrank, if only a little, by dropping by 23 licenses to 8,927. And the low-power FM category has been declining from its peak in 2018, falling back under 2,000 during the past year. But it will grow again once new stations come on the air after the recent filing window for the new low-power stations. Well, decline of AM stations, it's been happening for years now. And, you know, I'm not super worried in the fact that at least the decline is slow and there's still a lot of them on the air. The weakest are often the ones that disappear. Maybe at some point we'll get to a level where, you know, it's sustainable and stations can continue operating. We say it all the time how expensive AM radio stations are to operate compared often to FM, where, you know, you just need a little quick whip antenna on the top of a building and usually you're on the air.
Yeah, AM's really become sort of that specialty band where, you know, a lot of religious stations, ethnic stations, sports talk, you know, not the really mainstream music stations that we used to get years ago on AM. They're pretty much all on FM. But as you say, the cost of running AM is a lot more than FM. I think where their stronghold is in smaller based cities with community radio stations that put out a lot of local news and information, that particularly ones that are out of range of some of the big cities, where those small stations can be really, really important for a smaller community. And AM, you know, even with 1,000 watts or so, or 250 watts, even you can get away with like one antenna support tower rather than some of the big stations that require more than one. So, you know, kind of ties into our local Montreal story, two radio stations on AM that might become, you know, players in the market. Yep. Let's hope so. So anyways, nice to keep a watch on those numbers and see how they rise up and down.
And I would think that AM stations have one major enemy that we see actually with shortwave radio listening, noise. They are really prone to all the noisy environment. The radio frequency interference we have is much more present on the AM band than on the FM band.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems that the lower powered stations even have more difficulty with, you know, if there's a lot of noise around them. So, yep, it's challenging for sure. We have one update to tell you about this week. We talked about the Channel 292, the relay station over in Germany that puts programming on the air. They were off the air, needed some antenna work done, and their engineer had a broken leg and was unable to get to some of the work and didn't expect to have any of it back on until February. Well, he's somehow managed to get one of the two frequencies, or one of the three frequencies actually, back on the air. Our friend Tony Pavic in Hope, BC updates us. He reports that on January 14th, in the wake of Channel 292 being off the air, as the engineer, the guy who runs the station, who had broken his leg, Tony had arranged an alternative. Beginning on Sunday, the 21st of January, he will be heard on at 2000 UTC on 15770, courtesy of Radio Miami International. This, he says, is only a short-term adjust for 4 weeks. This is in addition to their regular slot on WRMI at 0200 UTC on Mondays, which is Sunday 9 p.m. Eastern on 5950. But then on the 17th of January, Tony reports the following. I received an email from Rainer confirming that 9670 was back on the air. He checked with the 20 SDR in the Netherlands and several other SDRs in France, Germany, Denmark, and Italy, and he did hear it on the air. So with any luck, he says his show will hopefully be back at 1700 UTC. So that's good news that they've managed to at least get one of the transmitters back on the air.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
It's going to be a busy weekend coming up. We have, first off, the CQ 160-meter band CW contest, 2200 Zulu January 26th to 2200 Zulu January the 28th. It is organized by CQ. The objective is for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs as possible on the 160-meter band. And it is a CW-only contest, and that is always a challenging and interesting band, being in the very low-frequency end of the HF spectrum.
We have the REF contest, CW portion, 0600 Zulu, January 27th to 1800 Zulu, January 28th. It is organized by the Réseau des Émetteurs Français, Union Française des Radios Amateurs, the French HF Championship, or the Coupe de REF. Objective, French amateurs work as many amateur stations in as many French of the 97 metropolitans, departments, overseas territories, and DXCC countries of the world as possible, and foreign amateurs work as many French stations in as many of the 97 metropolitans, departments, and overseas French territories as possible. Bands 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters, and it is CW.
For people who enjoy radio teletype, the BARTG, RTTY Sprint, 1200 Zulu January 27th to 1200 Zulu January 28th. It's organized by the British Amateur Radio Teledata Group. It's on all of the HF amateur bands, and it is radio teletype.
The UBADX contest, SSB, from 13 Zulu January 27th to 13 Zulu January 28th, organized by the Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union. The bands are 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters, and it's SSB phone.
And an interesting event coming up called the Winter Field Day, 1900 January 28th to 1900 Zulu January 29th. It is sponsored by the Winter Field Day Association. Winter Field Day is a communications exercise that is held on the last full weekend in January. It can be worked from the comfort of your home or in a remote location. You can participate by yourself or get your friends, family, or your whole club involved. Winter Field Day is open to participants worldwide. Amateur radio operators may use frequencies on HF, VHF, or UHF bands and are free to use any mode that can faithfully transmit the required exchange intact. Similar to the ARRL's Field Day, bonus points are earned in several ways, including using non-commercial power sources, operating from remote locations, satellite contacts, and more. So the bands, all bands, HF, VHF, and UHF, and all modes available. So that's an interesting event to keep you busy in the winter cold days.
And we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed the program. We are here every Sunday morning at 10:30 Eastern, 15:30 UTC on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. And you can check us out live streaming at ckut.ca. Or listen to the show at your convenience on our YouTube channel, International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
As a consumer electronics appliance, radio has been through many configurations since first appearing on store shelves in the early 20th century. It's been mostly AM, which stands for amplitude modulation, and FM, which means frequency modulation. But we mustn't forget that shortwave and ham radio have also also been important during these 100-plus years. There was even a time when radio was listened to with headphones on simple non-powered devices called crystal sets. Today, AM/FM radios come with a variety of power sources, including batteries, solar panels, and cranks to generate energy. Now in the digital era, we have DAB radio, satellite radio, streaming radio, and the development of radio-style innovations such as podcasting. Radio continues to evolve. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.